Blog Talk Radio. Anyways, we've, like I said, we've got Troy Black's going to be on here in a minute. and we'll get him rolling on the Sam's Club series. We'll see what's new for him. Get a biography of Troy, see what he's been up to, and see where he sees the Sam's Club going in the next years. It's a wonderful event. As you know, everybody tries to get into it. And, you know, it's one of the premier events on the circuit. Over $500,000 prize money throughout all the locals, regionals, and the nationals. Sam's Club really takes care of the cooks. Any contest you go to, all the goodie bags, just they roll out the red carpet and really take care of the cooks. So while we're waiting for Troy to come in, we've got a caller. Don't know if he wants to talk or not. We've got a 405-205-3270. Hello.
Hey, it's just me.
Who is it?
This is David.
Oh, hey,
just
David. Hey,
just doing good. Just listening, waiting to listen to Troy talk.
Okay. That's fine. So what you been up to?
Oh, had a long weekend coming from Kansas City from the banquet. But that's it. I just called in to listen to Troy. I'm biding my time.
Oh, that's fine. We can talk about what you got going on.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So, did you go to the banquet?
Yeah, we went to the banquet, enjoyed it. I think they had a real good turnout. To me, I think there was more people there this year than there was 2 years ago when they held it in Kansas City. I think there was a good turnout for a lot of the breakout sessions that they had. Huge turnout for the free entry fees that they always do. You buy a dollar and you get a chance that goes in for an entry fee for a contest, and they ask all the past contests to give one entry. And, man, I don't know what they raised this year, but it had to be large. I know it had to be large. So good group of people showed up this year, too. Yeah.
Well, that's good. I actually bought one on the backside that was helped me out. A buddy of mine had gotten several of them. I was going to try to get two of them, but another buddy of mine got me on the North Carolina one. So I got the one down at Boss Hogg, so Randall Bowman. He won quite a few. He said the drawings were really good to him. So he was real pleased with all that.
This was probably – yeah, go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, that they moved – I think last year it was in San Diego, and they moved it back to Kansas City this year, and I think it being more towards the middle of the country instead of on, you know, all the way on one coast or the other, I think helped out a lot. Plus, you know, 2 years ago, there's a buttload more barbecue teams and people interested in barbecue now.
Yeah, every other year it'll be in Kansas City, and every other year it'll be someplace else. Next year it'll be in Nashville. Then they'll go back to Kansas City. Then they'll pick the next one after that. So it rotates around every other year. But it'll be in Kansas City, like I said, in every other year. So, but that's why it was like that.
Well, Nashville to me, you know, we're stuck over here in Augusta, Georgia. Nashville to me is, you know, it's a little more durable than Kansas City. So still waiting for one in Atlanta. That would be a good one for us. But so do you make it just out of every one of them or –
No, I've made it to the last three. I haven't been before that. Enjoyed them every time I've been. We did go to San Francisco last year, and then was in Kansas City the year before. The year before that, it was in, I think, Philadelphia. And, no, I did not make that one. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. At least you get to travel around and stuff. And have you already competed this year?
Yeah, we competed back first of the year out in California.
Right.
Went up there. They had a back-to-back, and I went out there on Thursday. We had a class Friday, Saturday, and then competed Sunday, Monday. And then we flew home, and then the other one was Monday, Tuesday. And just due to work and everything, we had to get on out of there. I'd love to have done the second one, but I just couldn't swing it after being off already.
Yeah, you've already, I believe you took a grand too, didn't you?
Yeah, we won that one. That gives me three in the jack draw already, so Got four more to go, and we'll get an auto. So who knows? You know, you can – 2 years ago, I got to number six and went 2 months and never got nothing. So, hey, you know, it happens.
Everybody's got it in for that jack draw. They don't want to leave it by up to a chance. So, you know, the only way to get it honestly is win one of the big ones or, you know, get you some $7,000 and you're in like Flynn. So what's how many contests y'all going to end up doing this year? Have you figured out your schedule or anything? Or
not a full schedule. We'll probably do between 30 and 35.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of the contests towards the end of the year have to put up, you know, when they're going to be in and all that stuff. So it's kind of hard to get a full schedule right now until all the contests are posted. And, you know, like last year, we had a couple that came in towards, you know, towards mid-season. So, you know, it's all good.
Yep.
What's business been for you?
Business has been really good for us. We changed our packaging last year, and I think it was a good change. It really scared me changing it. Talked to a lot of retailers that are big retailers for me, and they all agreed that they felt it would be the right thing to do. So we proceeded with that. We're in the middle now of working with our supplier. We buy from the same folks year after year after year, and I'm actually – we're in the process of signing contracts to guarantee pricing for the next year and a half. And if we can finalize one more item, I'll be able to lock in my pricing for a year and a half, and I'll be extremely excited about that.
Well, that's good. I know several teams around here use your product, and as you know, I love your product and have done very well with it. And just to let you know, today we had 400-something hits on our radio show just this month. So,
wow, that's awesome.
I know you probably want me to take it off, but, you know, we're up over 2,000.
No. I say more the merrier. Congratulations
but, you know,
to you on that.
Thank you. It was, it was 99.9% you. So, but, you know, it's just asking the right questions, and, I mean, I know you gave out a lot of little golden nuggets in that show, and I've had a lot of people at these contests stuff come up and, you know, ask me about it and stuff, and, I talked to David offline a little bit and got a few more tidbits and everything, which really helped my game. And I said, but, you know, if you get a chance, you need to try to take one of the schools or, you know, I try to get people when they order from you to you know, just talk to you for a minute and see how they actually use the product. You know, you can read the package one way and take it one way, but until you hear it coming straight from the person who you know, developed it, you know, that's when it really sinks into you when you actually talk to somebody about your products and stuff. And like I said, I've had several teams come up and say it's very informative, and they're really glad that, you know, you were able to, you know, kind of spell it out for them how to do certain things with your different products and everything. And actually, as we speak, I've got a brisket and $10 on my TNT smoke right there that I'm cooking for a sandwich shop and using, you know, like I said, I get some good practice cooks in, so I'm using some of the products on it, doing me a good practice cook, and I'm getting it narrowed down and fine-tuned. So I'll be ready for my first one coming up in about 3 weeks, I guess.
Oh, well, good. That's a good early one. Yeah. Funny you mentioned that, get to explain to people how it was. I had an opportunity a couple of weeks ago to do this, and I had to put it off just due to timing and not being able to designate the right amount of time it actually deserved. But this weekend we're going and we're going to be taping a couple different YouTube videos on the basics of how to mix it, how to inject it, beef, pork, stuff like that. So if everybody will just keep an eye on my website, we'll be posting them there to where they can read them or see them on my website or go to YouTube, you know, obviously there. But, yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, and then we're going to turn around. We're going to be doing something this weekend on it. So it's going to be a matter of getting them done, getting them through the editing, and getting them downloaded.
You know, that just shows you how much you love barbecue, because like I said, I mean, I talked to several people, and some of them know you, some of them haven't met you like me, you know, face to face, but it's just like, you know, you're like the mad scientist of me, because it's like it's amazing the amount of information that you provide, and the I guess the chemistry that you really put into these products to get the right and the right flavor, the desired tenderness, and the desired texture out of this meat just from what you mix into your certain rubs and injections. And, I mean, it just, I mean, you know, you've got to do that to be top of your game. And, you know, with y'all competing and using the product week in and week out, several other teams are too, and they've been very successful doing it. And, you know, it takes people like you and, you know, your team to go out there and prove that, you know, your products really do work.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, first off. After that, we, 30-some years in the meat business, I've accumulated a lot of friends and a lot of knowledge. And if I don't know the answer, I'll be the first one to say, I don't know, but I'd sure like to know. Had a gentleman shoot me an email, well, actually he called me last week, and the way he was wanting to mix it wasn't out of bounds. It's nothing I've not been asked before, but what he wanted to do afterward mixing it was very unique and different. And I asked him, just keep me posted on it. Man, I wanted to know, because I had not ever done it, nor had I been asked about that. And I guess it was about 48 hours later, he shot me a PM on Facebook and said, not exactly workable, but he can see something in the future that it might, basically, is what he was telling me. So he's going to keep working on that. But I thought it was a unique way of one to transport it and portion control it, let's say. And it's not for me to say how he wants to do it, so that's why I'm not saying it, you know. Every cook's got their own thing, and when I talk to him, it stays on that little island between me and them. So, but that's why I'm not saying what it is. But I think it was it's got good merit to it, and I wish him good luck with it and hope it works. But, I do catch a lot of unique and different things like that. But if I don't know the answer, I'll tell you. I'll tell them, no, but I do know this will happen. No, I know this part of the product will do this at that temperature or something like that. And I like to say, I know the manufacturers, and I can call them. We are the only injection product out there like ours that is certified gluten-free. There's no one else out there who can say that. So that's pretty large in itself. And a lot of people would think that the HVP in it has gluten. It does not. It is certified gluten-free. And it not all of them are. So I'm real picky on what we put in it. And you were saying mad scientist world. It's kind of funny you say that. Last week I made a post on Facebook about just to let everyone know that a ThermoPen will go down to a negative 95 degrees. And then about 5 minutes later, I turned around and posted, final temperature was negative 117 degrees. And I stopped there, and that's only because I had to go on and get some other stuff done, but I'm sure it would have kept dropping. But the question I was asked at Kansas City this weekend is, what were you doing to check at 117 degrees minus? And I was like, oh, playing around. And I did inform them. I told them, I said, well, I'll tell you this much. Pork freezes within 3 minutes at that temperature. So just to let you know, yeah, I do a lot of crazy stuff. My wife will even tell you, she's half scared to come home sometimes. She knows I'm going to be doing something in the back and in the shop, and she's like, man, I don't know what I'm going to walk into sometimes. It might be supper, and it might be cleaning up a mess. Who knows?
Well, she just needs to stay out of the doghouse.
Yeah, no.
I got a shot in my backyard. That's my doghouse, so she doesn't come in there. You know.
No.
she like you said, she's almost afraid to, because she doesn't know what the hell's going on in there, what I'm doing, or you know, what I got done all over the place. And but yeah, it's just amazing I was gonna say a little smart mark, like you just got way too much time on your hands, but you know.
Well, now you can say it because she does.
I like my wife, but you know, but you've got the insight because because you do compete and you have been working with the meat industry for 30 some odd years and. You've got the insight, and your wheels are always clicking on how to make something better or juicier or, more flavorful. And, so your wheels are always turning that direction, whether they're, it or not. I guess sometimes it's, when you get enough info, then you can kind of come out with something new. So, I'm excited to be on board with Butcher Barbecue Products this year and, kind of start off using them the whole year. Last year I didn't do that and kind of hurt the beginning of the year, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I placed out a top 10 in ports my last 10 contests if someone went back to your product. And same thing with brisket. So, that's pretty strong to say, last 8 or 10 contests, you don't place out a top 10. I don't really think I had that many out of the top 5 either. So,
that's good cooking right there, bud. Good job.
But, it's like you said before, with your product, you get that confidence level and, you feel good about it and, it's just consistency, every piece is pretty much different, but, if you can bring that consistency by using certain products that you offer and consistently good, should I say, you got to give the judges what they want. And like I said, it really upped my game. It's really, I've got a lot of people that know who we are now, which I kind of like flying under the radar for the most part. But, everybody says that's over with. But, we did between four different sanctioned bodies last year. David, we did 33 competitions, and we granted 5, and we reserved 7. So, 1/3 of the contest we did, we either won or reserved.
That's pretty solid, Jim. That is awesome.
And, that's FBA, that's FBN, that's South Carolina Barbecue Association, and KCBS. So it's, it just says, to me also, I don't change my flavor profiles, from one sanctioning body to another. But that says a lot for what you offer too, because a lot of that had to happen with me using your products. And, it goes back to consistency thing. Even Bad Byron Chisholm, he said, just cook good barbecue and you'll win. You didn't give away any secrets or anything, just cook good food. Well, you give away secrets to get to the good food. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, there's a scenario about that. Yeah. I think the day of being a good cook is gone. Okay, on occasion it'll pop in and you'll be the winner, but going along with what you're saying, I can't give credit where it was. I did not think of this, but I told the guy, I said, I'm going to steal it and I'm going to use it. But the scenario that was given to me was Paul Schotte, the president and one of the main dude up there at Head Country Barbecue Sauce, he was telling me that in the late 90s and throughout the early 80s, you used to be able to go out and just cook a good brisket. Fundamentally, cook it properly, pull it off, be able to slice it, and turn it in. Have your rub and your sauce and everything marry in perfect, and you would win. Pork, chicken, rib, everything was that way. And he used to always tell me, he says, if you can fundamentally cook the food properly, you'll be just fine. You'll win. And the saying that I'm thinking of, and I don't remember who said it, but they used French fries. They said, cooking a French fry around the United States was known for being just a good fry. If you could cook it right, if you had your grease hot enough, if you had the right kind of grease, the potato was perfect, if it was crinkle cut, if it was straight. And then all of a sudden, someone added ketchup to that French fry, and it changed the French fry world. And I told them, I'm going to use that. You know, cooking briskets, everybody could cook a good brisket, and a great brisket cook used to win. Then somebody started injecting a brisket, and it changed the world. And that's the way I look at barbecue cooking now is not only are we injecting, there's these specialty breeds, there's the Wagyus, the Herefords, the Angus. There's so many things out there. And then on the pork, there's all the different pork. The day of being able to go out and cook a brisket properly, have it done good, and hold it right and slice it, that will still get you probably a top 10 call. But it's not going to get you the win anymore.
Yeah, so. Well, like you know, and you brought up a very good point. You know, you can sit on what you got for only so long, but until somebody comes out with something new, you know, only then will you find out where you really stand.
Yeah,
and that's what I guess. I guess that's what you get paid for.
Well, barbecue is just like running a business.
But you know, you got access to the means to go about it and everything. And like I said, I think the first show we did together, you were downright talking about the molecular structure of the meat, and it just kind of blew me away on how certain things react to meat in different circumstances and stuff. And you know, it just yeah, you can tell somebody that can BS around it, but you know, then you can tell everything you said makes sense. And like you said, if you didn't know it, you just flat out tell them, hey, hadn't tried that or hadn't done this or hadn't heard anybody doing that, and don't know what results are or anything. But you know, like I said, I did just start using the premium rub, and the coloration it put on the butt was just phenomenal. It was just an awesome color. And, you know, the people down at my wife's sandwich shop, they really love it when I start practice cooking. I kind of use them as guinea pigs. So they get used to one thing, and then I'll throw a little bit on there, and I'll get their reaction sometimes. Hell, is it better this time? Was it this? And, of course, 9% of them say, man, that was good. I don't know what you did, but it's always good. But then you get those that have a little bit more trained palate, and they're like, you know, it might be a little spicier, it might be a little this, have a little more flavor this time or whatever. So, you know, it really feels good if they notice a change, or even if they tell my wife, you know, hey, that was a little bit different. It was really good. So, you know, a little bit better than last time, or, you know, whatever it is. But like I said, I haven't really turned out a bad product using any of your products. And, you know, I'm still... I guess formulating them and getting them on the right amounts and all this other stuff, laying them just right, and you know, just working with what flavor profiles worked with me towards the end of last year, and trying to keep practicing and getting it, just tweaking it just a little bit here and there to see how it comes out this year.
I think that's the thing, is knowing yourself, understanding yourself, when it's truly good and when it's truly not. That's the trick. We can all baffle ourselves by thinking it's good every time, and it's not. We all know that, but it's the consistency is what you got to strive for, and that's where it takes it. Yeah.
Well, it's a really good thing, because like I said, you know, you got a lot of stuff in your arsenal, so to speak, and you know, I've been tweaking with the hickory salt that you have.
Uh-huh.
And you know, and I'm almost thinking about using it towards the finishing thing, you know, grinding it up a little finer, just as a little finishing thing. Because one of the big, I guess, judging things in South Carolina Barbecue Association is the aroma. And one thing that I noticed with that hickory salt that when I use it on the pork butt, you know, I do it like competition. I plate it up, stick it in the box. Let it sit in the box anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes, so that's what it's going to do with judges. And then, you know, then open it up and see what kind of, you know, what kind of smell I get out of the box and all that. See how the meat held the temperature or held the moisture in it and everything. It's, you know, it really helps me. I mean, to be on the game, you're not really obsessed with it. You're just, you know, just trying to sharpen your game and seeing what works for you.
It's interesting. An aroma, texture, appearance, and then taste and aroma. That's unique. That's, yeah, yeah.
You know, it actually last year cost me a little bit because as far as taste, tenderness, and texture, I lead in the field and then get the aroma, and, you know, it did drop off significantly. You know, I'd still end up in the top five, but I'm like, well, what's this for? So I was talking to some of the teams, some of them will put, you know, like a wet napkin, have some hickory smoke on it or something, leave it in the box, and, you know, there's several different things. I'm like, my big thing is if you really don't want it to smell, oh, if you can smell the smoke in it, to me, it's over-smoked. And, you know, when you open it up, you want a nice, clean pork flavor, I thought. But, you know, these guys are doing all this, and some people put liquid smoke in their box and all sorts of different things, and I'm like, really?
Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
So, you know, different sanctioning bodies do it a little bit different. Like I said, but that hickory salt, when you do get it on a piece of a hot piece of meat and everything, and it sits in that box for a little while. Need to try it because it does. If you have one box beside it with nothing on it, then that box with it, you can actually pick up a little different smell when you first open the box, like, you know, when it just releases. And if you let it sit in there for 10, 15 minutes, you know, it just builds up a little bit more. So I'm more inclined to use a little bit more of that in the South Carolina Barbecue Association than any other one. And that's the thing where you have to do something. Because, like you said, I mean, that's another whole judging area that you've got to worry about now.
Yep, that's right. Hadn't ever thought of that one or heard of that one, so that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, come over to this side of the country.
Yeah, no kidding. Like I said, we're in California, and we do what we do no matter where we are. And we won out there. So it was interesting for me to see that the flavors that I like and that we cook here, we go from Tennessee, St. Louis, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kansas, Texas. We cook New Mexico and Nevada, but I never made it all the way to California. So it was really interesting to see out in California how they did or didn't like it. And I know what I turned in, and I know what I thought was good and what I thought was a little off. And to still see it score pretty well what I thought it probably should have, that's kind of interesting. I thought that was good. Yeah.
Well, you know, the way we look at it over here on the East Coast, you know, most East Coast teams don't do that well out West. So we kind of figured, put our heads together, we kind of figured from north to south, it's not that big of a, you know, flavor profile change. But as we get closer to the west, I think the flavor profile changed a little bit. And, you know, that's where, like, teams in the middle of the country, y'all are pretty much sitting right where you need to be. Because, like you said, you can go out west and do very well. You look at Rod Gray and Johnny Trigg and all them that are in the same boat and a lot of bull, and they come over here and do very well. So, you know, y'all are in the hodgepodge of probably being right at the flavor profile that all the judges are looking for, or most of them anyway, you know, some of them can be. But see what I'm saying? I think there's a little bit more difference between East Coast to West Coast than there is from Midwest to either side. And that's why I'm a big fan of using y'all's products, because, you know, we can use them over here, and they'll do good over here, but as soon as you venture out that, you know, that safety zone, so to speak, I don't think the flavors work as well, you know, going towards the middle of the country. So if you start off with some of the best and you work your way out, like I said, we've made, you know, yours and a couple other people's, you know, smoking guns and them. We've made them work around here and have had very good success with them. So, you know, it just shows y'all how far, I guess, in my opinion, you know, with the amount of products that's coming out of the Midwest, and just doing very well. You know, like I said, I've talked to a lot of different competitors around here, and, you know, SBN uses a lot of your products. South Carolina's starting to use some of your products, and I've already got some people wanting to buy some stuff, and they've been coming over to my house buying it. So, haven't even made it to a competition yet. I might be putting another order for another case of rub. which is not all bad, because you get somebody, and you know, when they try it, they're like, where has that been? You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, even one of my sponsors carrying your products and stuff, and they've been selling out pretty good. And we had a rib throwdown a few weeks ago and told them everything that, you know, we kind of used on it and stuff. And next thing I know, half your products have gone off the shelves and a couple others. And it's like, you know, he said, you know, we're going to have to make another order here pretty soon.
So, yeah. Well, the wife really appreciates that.
Well, like I said, you know, it's not, it's, unless you go online or whatever, you know, it's people don't think about picking up the products, especially the backyard people.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a hell of a lot more of them than there are competition people. And,
yeah,
you know, get that competition style rub and put it on their piece of meat, you know, it's 10 times better than anything you can really buy in just a regular grocery store, you know, one of those cookie cutter rubs, you know, just a, you know, pork rub or, you know, just a meat rub or whatever. So you're actually going into enhancing the piece of meat that you're actually cooking, and it makes them look better to all their friends and family, and they get hooked on it. And, you know, and then, of course, word of mouth is the best way to advertise. Before you know it, you know, you've got several people going down there picking up a jar here and a jar there, a bag here and a bag there. But we're just starting, you know, we give these classes, and we'll have anywhere from 50 to 100 people in these classes. And they're just, you know, more technique than anything. And, you know, we'll give them a whole range of rubs they can try that, you know, a lot of competitors use, that we use and all that. And, you know, they're real adamant about buying the same stuff and having that competition quality rub at their disposal, you know, where they don't have to wait 3, 4, 6 days to get it. You know, if they come in on Thursday, well, I'm going to do some brisket or some butts this weekend. What do I need? Put it on the shelf and hand it to them. And they just start to get into the injection. All those backyarders are afraid to inject. And so we've been pushing these classes to go more towards injections and stuff. So, you know, once they get hooked on that, they really know what really good barbecue is.
And that's the reason I'm doing those videos. I think that's going to have a big help, is when they see it, it's really not that difficult. Don't be scared of it. I did a segment on a local Fox radio station up here a month and a half ago, and it was a live broadcast. And that's what I saw. It was right before Christmas, and that's what I was explaining about brisket, is told them about how we injected and showed them how to inject it real quick. I said, don't be scared of it. It's a big piece of meat, and it's just a little liquid. It's not going to hurt nothing. You can't run it by doing this.
No.
And that's how we went over it with them. And the ladies that were hosting the show, I think they were pretty easy with it when it was all done. So I was glad to hear that. But, yeah, I know what you're saying. People are, intimidated, for lack of better words. And we all get intimidated by things we don't know about. And once we get accustomed to it or can see other people doing it, then I think it'll come out a lot easier for many more people. So, yeah.
Well, like I said, I know, you know, a lot of the rub companies are hitting the competition cooks, but, you know, that just trickles down into the mainstream. And, you know, like I said, with your packaging and stuff, the new packaging looks really sharp, by the way. It kind of sets it off, you know, where it, you know, anything nice and shiny, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing catches people's eye, you know, and most people go by color and stuff first before they read the names. You know, they've got this picture of what it should look like. And, you know, you can run through 50 rubs and boink, there it is right there without even reading it, because you know what the label looks like, or it's, you know, something a little bit different. And, but, you know, like I said, get back on injections. You know, there's a lot of people that don't know that. And, you know, when it trickles down into the mainstream, I mean, that's a whole nother beast right there. And as you know, when you give classes, or people that, you know, use your products to give classes, automatically you're getting a lot of orders in a hurry. You know, it's just like Rod Gray, you know, I think I was talking to Linda about smoking guns, and she said, yeah, said he mentioned something about it on one of those Taste of America, and she said he didn't even warn me, And next thing you know, they're just busting out with orders. You know, just that mad rush. To, you know, and it happens down there where we do our classes. You know, they get a rush of orders on that. But then as the weeks go by, they keep buying it. You know, they really
right.
like something different than what they were using. It's something better, something sweeter, something hotter, something, you know, different. And they really like it. So they're going to keep on using it until the next big thing comes around. But I see you're getting some pretty good followers around here. I've got a lot of people starting to use it. Greg's gotten people to use it. You know, he really likes to push the products that he carries. And, you know, but the main thing that really kicked me off that year was when you call that number, they're talking to you.
That's right.
They're not talking to an operator. And that, to me, was one of the coolest things out there, was that you actually talk to a person, and the person that can answer any question that you have about the product. And I don't know how long you'll be able to keep doing that, but I'm just saying that was
If I'm selling it, I want to do it. It's that easy. My number's published in that world. In the past, there's been companies that you can't get a hold of. I hate buying something online, and you've got a question something about the size or something about, I don't know, how this is made or manufactured or how's it boxed. And, you know, you get online, and there's 300 questions online to go through to figure out if they've already answered it for you. I just want to pick up the phone, ask one question, and go away.
Right.
And I hate those websites that you can't talk to a person. Go through our question and answer section and see if you can find the right answer for you. Well, if I had the time to do that, I mean, that'd be different, but I don't. I want to just call customer service or call this number. Hey, I got a question about the way these widgets work. Now, will it work in my world? Yes, no. Thank you very much. I want to walk away. And I hate it when you can't talk to the people that know. So, yeah.
But you know what I'm getting at? It's just really cool that you do that and you take the time out of your day to do it. And like I said, you know, a lot of people don't know you or you know, just look at your product and stuff. I mean, you stand behind that 120% and you're there to answer any questions. If something happened, you could actually listen to how their process went and pick out either what went wrong or what went really right, you know. And besides, like I said, I've tried the injection several different ways, you know. I've mixed it with several different ingredients. And, you know, but like you said, I think the best way to use your injections is really just with plain water.
Yeah, and I get a lot of that. People will call me and say, hey, I'm doing it like you say, and I'm just getting okay results. And I'll say, well, if you're doing it like I say, your results are going to be real good. If you're not doing it like I say, in all honesty, there's something wrong. Walk me through your scenario. Walk me through your product. And 9 times out of 10, it's not that the product is wrong or the way they injected it. It's the cooking method itself. And that's where I think the education comes in, is when we go to actually educate folks how to cook properly. You know, you've heard the old stall method. Everybody says, oh, it stalls out. Well, if it's sitting and stalling out, and I'm a firm believer in wrapping. I am. All it's doing is drying out. And 9 times out of 10, I'll talk someone into trying the next one by wrapping. I'll explain to them when and how, and they'll call me back, and I'll get that, man, you were dead on. That's exactly what was wrong. So most of the time, if you're wrapping, and sometimes most people wrap too late in the cycle, and that's the major problem. So I enjoy doing it. I enjoy helping people, and I think that's a big part of it, is just that. It takes knowledge to know how to do it, and I'm not thinking I'm full of everything. And like you say, I'll tell them, if I'm like, dude, I think your process sounds great. I don't know what the problem is, and I've told people that. I don't know why it's not working, because I think you're doing exactly what I do. So,
well, you could be getting just that one piece of meat that doesn't cooperate. You know,
that's right. And that happens.
Yep, you don't know how the animal is raised or killed or processed or anything like that. So, you know, that could be part of it there too. You know, I've had a couple of briskets mine stall, and I just let them get on up center. And
yeah,
those are some of the best brisket scores I ever had.
I had a brisket a couple of years ago. I was cooking it at the American Royal, and my briskets come off religiously between 9:30 and 10 o'clock every contest. At 11:30, I'm still cooking this one brisket. I'm like, it's just not getting done. But, you know, it was like I pull at a certain temperature, and it was 5 degrees below it, and it hung right there. And it's wrapped. Yeah. Everything is just fine. It just wasn't getting done. And finally, I'm thinking it was between 11:30 and 12. It finally hit the temp that I wanted. Almost 2 hours later, it hit the temp, and we turned that one in. We ended up getting second place in brisket and used that brisket.
Yeah, but it's kind of amazing how sometimes that can happen. So,
yeah.
And you try to tell people, you know, barbecue is not a real quick thing. It's, you know, you got to have patience for it. And I've seen several times, especially the new teams and stuff, they'll freak out. You know, I had a brisket hang up at 145 and 155 degrees for almost 3 hours.
Wow. Yeah.
And once it got over that plateau, I wrapped it immediately and took it up to my normal temperature. And, you know, I leave mine well in advance. I take mine off by 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
That's the way I do it. And it's worked well for me. It's resting. And it's still, by the time I get all my gambrel, because I've got a different type of gambrel than most people, it's really, really thick, insulated. And, you know, when you put your butts in there and your brisket, you know, it stays hot enough. Last thing I wear, you know, my little jersey gloves with my plastic gloves, latex gloves over them to handle it because it's still hotter than hell.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I wrap it right after it gets through plateauing, I've had some of my best scores in brisket. And actually this year when I got my perfect 180 using your product, it had stalled for about an hour and a half for 5 degrees, I think. And then it kicked on, and right after it started kicking, I wrapped it up and did my normal process. And, I mean, it came out perfect. You know,
So,
you know, like I said, it's how you overcome them and stuff. You know, like I said, you were pushing the envelope a little bit more than I have. But, you know, I do mine for one reason, you do yours for one reason. And, you know, I do mine for space. And, but, you know, with the other grill, you know, I've usually got 4 or 6 more hours to play with. So it doesn't matter to me how long it takes it to get done. I know it'll get done, you know, by 10 or 11 o'clock, so I'm not real worried about it. You know, I'll just leave it in there until my beeper goes off and, you know, check it with the thermopin and check the, you know, check the pull and everything with the pin in there. So, you know, I've got it down to, well, I'm going to use it within 3 degrees now, especially on my brisket, of where it needs to be. I'm a pork butts, it's within 1 or 2 degrees. But, you know, brisket, I get between 3 and 4 degrees every time it comes out. It's come out very well towards the end of the year, I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's right.
So what, you've got something new coming out, and I think we're going to wait to another show to see what that's going about. Now, do you have another class coming up, or...
I've got my last competition class until December in Springfield, Missouri, February 8th and 9th. That'll be it, like I said, till December. I do help host catering and restaurant classes with Cook Shack in Ponca City, Oklahoma. We host them up here at the Country Club. And Fast Eddie Marin and myself do that, along with the president of Cook Shack, Stuart Powell. But we're going to put 2 of those on the schedule this year. We normally do 3 of those, but we're going to do 2 this year. Eddie's having a shoulder replaced, so it's got bit into a little bit of that time. And then in December we'll do a competition class with that group again. But it's, yeah, as far as myself, I've only got this one class scheduled. That's all I'm going to do. In middle of March we get started competing, and then we'll compete all the way through the summer again. So.
Now, what was the other question I was going to ask you? So I want to talk about your sauce a little bit.
Okay.
You've got several products out there which we use, and I guess I started using your sauce, to be honest with you, about a month or so ago, maybe 2 months ago. And I've had a couple teams around here that have been doing very well in chicken and ribs using your sauce. It's kind of a sweet. It's one of those that I've used yours by itself, and I can't remember, and I've used yours mixed with something else. Yours is sweet, but it's got a little heat on the back end, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
It's got a little bit of a spice to it, but it's kind of got a tang to it also. It does have, you can taste a touch of like a vinegar type flavoring in it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's got the sweet to it. It's got the tang. It's got a little bite. I think it's a great mix of that can go from coast to coast. So yeah, that's my theory of it.
that's your story and you're sticking to it, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm really pretty excited about this year coming up. So, like I said, just using some new and improved products, so to speak. And you've done very well with your sauce and competitions. I think, what, you get second at Jack and first in Vegas?
Just yeah. Vice versa. We won the Jack contest with our sauce and got second in Vegas with it, yeah.
So, you know, you're going against two world-class, competitions right there, and being that far up in the competition as you're, so, you know, first and the second. That's pretty strong. So, and like I said, you got one in Tennessee and one in Vegas, so that's the east-west type deal right there, and it's, you know, that just shows you right there it'll be good all over the continent of the United States, for the truth, because just from that showing right there just tells me that, flavor profile is hitting all the way across the country.
Yeah, but that's what we were hoping.
Well, we're really excited about using it this year, and hopefully upping our game on it. And like I said, we're ecstatic that you came on board with us and took a chance with us, and hopefully we'll do you right, and get a few more wins this year than we did last year, and keep the ball rolling. But
Jim, I appreciate everything y'all do.
But now, I want to let the listeners know, the sauce is not a real thick molassy-type sauce. It's got a real good medium, what I call a medium viscosity to it. So, of course, when you heat it up, it's going to thin it a little bit. But it's got a really good, I guess, tacking to the meat, so to speak, ability. Some sauce I've used in the past, even some of the thick ones, and I'd dump my chicken in there and pull it up, it'd start just, rolling right off the chicken. And what I noticed with yours was it tacked to the piece of meat a little bit better, and had a really good color on it.
Yeah. It's kind of got like an amber color to it when it is finished, so it does help with that coloring that we all desire for competition cooking.
Yeah, it's kind of a light mahogany color. And like I said, using your premium rub on the pork butts, like what I've got up on the grill now, I've been, kind of tweaking some of my recipes and seeing what works, seeing the coloration. Because, appearance is a score, and I don't know how many places I've lost just on one appearance score. So, to me, that's something that is more in the hands of the cook and presentator than any other part. Taste and the flavor and the tenderness and all that is, left up to the cooking cycle. But the appearance is really 100% on the presentator. who's building the box, who's, you know, to get the right color, you know, to make it look like you really, really want to eat it, and get that sheen going on it, so the judges, you know, give you a higher score. So
yeah.
anywhere you can make up for it, I mean, you need to. Like I said, using the sauce, it puts a nice sheen. It's got a nice little shine to the meat, and, you know, it's not overpowering. It's got a really good flavor, and like I said, I've used it on ribs and chicken, and I did a money muscle on the outside with it, and looked like I'd spray painted it with clear coat. So it looked really good. So that's why I said I can't really wait for this year to get rolling and see how we do, because like I said, I'm excited to have, you know, some new products to work with and some new flavor profiles and everything. And like I said, we appreciate y'all taking the chance on us. And, you know, we posted our thing out there on Facebook about what we've done in 2 years and the people we've met and, you know, being blessed with everything that we have. And, you know, it just goes to show you can have friends and family from coast to coast and barbecue. And it's just, you know, like one big happy family.
Yeah, that's right. I agree with that. I've always said that, you know, even traveling to the United States and you may not know somebody, but let's say your car breaks down, you can call someone that knows someone in that area, and they'll call another cook and say, hey, can you run down there and help them? And we'll do it. That's just what we do. So, yeah.
Because pretty much we've been there or we're going to be there.
That's
and
right.
I can't tell you how many tires I've lost going down the interstate. So, you know, we were actually doing a contest up in Cleveland, Georgia, and I'm pretty sure you probably know the Blue Bloods, David and Celeste. They were bringing their fifth-wheel camper up there to compete, and his truck screwed up coming through Atlanta. Well, Bubba from Barbecue was there, and, you know, not too many people have a fifth wheel. And, you know, most people have gooseneck or, you know, bumper pull or whatever. And he was actually in the middle of his prep. It was on Friday. And he, you know, word got around they were stuck down there on 400 or whatever about an hour or so down below us. And he jumped their truck, went down there and got them, brought the camper up there and parked it and got them, helped them get set up and, you know, start the competition. And, I mean, they just took time out of what he was doing. And, you know, everybody gets a little funny about their different times or whatever, but, you know, he's been doing it so long it didn't really bother him. And, but, you know, and then they had another buddy coming up for the weekend, another barbecuing buddy that lives somewhere in Alabama, Montgomery or somewhere. They came up, stayed with them Saturday night, and then drove back Sunday, drove them all the way back to New Orleans and spent a couple of days down there in New Orleans, you know, just hanging out with them and stuff. So it just shows you, you know, the camaraderie that comes along in barbecue, because you don't want somebody not to make the contest because of something somebody else wouldn't do for them.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, but like I said, I'm sure you've had some troubles along the way and you've helped people and other people's helped you. So it's, you know, it goes hand in hand. Like I said, we're just blessed to have a whole nother family out there and understands our passion and perseverance and why we do this, even though most of my family likes you crazy. But, you know, that's all part of it. We got another caller on you that I'm going to take. Stay online, though. We got a 407-466-3879. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? This is Killer Bees. You're on the line.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're doing good. You have a question or anything? Or?
Yeah, I've been listening. I was my speaker on my phone was not real clear. What sauce is this you guys are talking about?
I'll let David tell you.
It's Butcher Barbecue Sweet Sauce.
Oh, okay, cool. I haven't heard of that one. I heard a lot of good things from you guys about it, though. I'm going to have to try that.
Well, go to his website, butcherbarbecue.com, and when you call in the order, you'll talk to David.
All right. I'll definitely do that.
Well, continue to hang on if you want to finish listening to the show. We've got another caller on here. It's,
okay.
It's a 443 number, 799-0829. Who do we have?
Oh, that's me, Jim, Dan with Three Eyes.
Hey, Dan Hickson from Three Eyes. Folks, this is the reigning KCBS World Champion Team of the Year extraordinaire, Dan Hickson. How's it going, buddy?
Fantastic, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, I've been trying to get y'all for a while, and I know towards the end of the season it's getting a little tense and everything, so, we kind of had to back off. But so you come down off cloud nine yet, or are you still up there?
Oh, still up there. Just recovering from a weekend of partying. It was fantastic.
Now, there wasn't any Patron involved, was there?
Yes, disguised as a water bottle.
That's what I thought. See, I saw something somebody posted out said, I don't drink alcohol. The alcohol I drink are made from distilled spirits, so I'm a spiritual.
Nice.
But I think that's a lot of us out there. But, everybody knows you got kind of a little thing for a Patron, and, you got to get your shots in when you can. But how does it feel to be Team of the Year? I know, a lot before you go through the season to when you, say, well, hell, we got a shot at this thing. I mean, what goes through your mind? Because I hadn't been there yet, so, in KCBS, I don't know. I know the more wins, it kind of drives you to do a few more, and before you know it, you start gaining speed. So how was it for y'all? I mean, y'all start off slow, or y'all knew y'all were going to hit it hard and try to do it?
Well, it was never – it's always your goal. But I kind of resigned myself to the fact that I couldn't do enough competitions to where I thought we could win Team of the Year. I thought we needed to do 40, 50 competitions, and with full-time jobs, that's just not in the cards. So
right.
We had a full season planned with, 26, and we didn't get our first GC for the year until, I think it was June. And then we rattled off a couple more really quick. So at that point, we started to think maybe 7 was within reach to get the Jack Auto. So we added a competition or two specifically for that. Just kind of focusing on one thing at a time, got that. And then we realized that we were actually in the running for Team of the Year. So we added a couple more contests, and those were the ones down in Georgia. So,
right.
It's a slow progression, but we tried to just put one foot in front of the other and just think of, winning each individual contest.
Right. Well, that's good. That's, like you said, it's like when I talked to Ralph Munchenhaus, he said they started doing all – they took a little bit different approach. They saw doing, he said, silly stuff, trying way out flavors and all sorts of stuff. And he said they got, I think it was a Sam's Club Local or something. I think they got DQ'd and brisket. And he said he felt like he let his team down. And he said they started getting serious about it, or he did. And, they started rattling some stuff off. So I guess when you start in that mindset, you start thinking, hey, we got a shot, and you kind of start concentrating a little bit more, or watch your P's and Q's a little bit more, or was it stressful for y'all, or y'all just hanging out, having a good time, and just hitting your marks?
I don't think it got stressful until maybe November, because it starts to get out of your control a little bit. When there's lots of competitions in our area, I felt in control of that, but then when we had to go down in your neck of the woods down there, that's uncharted territory for us. And we felt like I didn't want to leave ourselves in a situation at the end of the year where if we didn't win that we had any regrets. So I wanted to make sure that we did as many competitions as we could. But, like I said, with full-time jobs, that's super stressful to drive 13 hours to Georgia every week and then back and do the same thing again like 3-4 weeks in a row.
Right.
So it's more the travel than the actual comp as far as stress.
But, like I said, in the end, it paid off, and you got your – was that your ring you were posting on Facebook?
Yes, that was the ring I posted on Facebook. And, that was kind of a surprise. I didn't even hear about the ring until sometime in October because no one out by us had one of those rings. They were only giving them out for the last couple of years. So there was a rumor of a ring, but that rumor is no more. There is an actual ring for Team of the Year.
Well, that's a good thing. So you had a good time at the KCBS banquet and everything. I think you made it back home safely. But, you had a little diversity here and there, too.
Because just from your job with Hurricane Sandy hitting, that kind of hit towards the end of the year and everything too.
Yeah, I deal with asbestos, lead, and mold. I don't actually remove it, but we identify it, map it out, and then do air testing once it's done. And we were already busy. And then when Hurricane Sandy hit, Superstorm Sandy or whatever they're calling it, that took an already big workload and just kind of doubled it on us. And then with the Team of the Year stuff in the middle of that, there's where your stress comes from, trying to get everything in perfect balance. There's not enough hours in the day.
Well, that's where you get a little more spiritual.
Yeah, exactly. Who needs sleep, right?
That's right. So I think we met, I think the first time, was it at Shelby? Was the first time I met you?
I can't remember if it was Shelby or if it was Gainesville.
Yeah, it was one of those. I know you kind of... I think we met you at Shelby first, briefly, and then because I think they put you back in the back 40. And then, you know, up there in Gainesville, you actually came over and ate some dinner with us and stuff on one of our little potluck dinner things. And,
yeah, that was fantastic. I appreciated that.
Well, it was really good, you know, because a lot of people, you know, you can remember when you first started out and everything, these big names and stuff you hear of, or you know, you get a lot of these, what I call middle-class teams in there, and people don't really know you, and they get a little uptight around, you know, big-name teams. And it's just a real good, relaxed atmosphere to meet teams and, you know, to see that, you know, hell, we're all human, and we're all down to earth, you know, and, you know, it's good that everybody can kind of mingle and, you know, meet other teams from different parts of the country. And, you know, it was really good, and I had some friends of mine, you know, Georgia boys, they saw you, I think, in Calhoun, too. But, you know, we all just out there to have a good time and showcase our talents. And, you know, I know you didn't have the optimum results in Gainesville, but you came back pretty strong in Calhoun and stuff and kind of helped solidify it. But, yeah, I can imagine Calhoun was probably pretty tense with Bunch and Hollis right there with you, and you know, y'all come down neck and neck. That's got to be a little nerve wracking, so to speak.
I don't know. Calhoun felt good to me. Cumming was more nerve wracking. For whatever reason, our sweet spot seems to be between 35, 50 teams, and Cumming's more than that, and we didn't finish well.
Right.
Gainesville was an anomaly. You look at those results, I'm pretty sure everybody hit a bad table at that competition because we had two categories that fell short, but I'm pretty sure everybody had one that was bad. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I believe you're right, because if there's one competition, to me it looked like the scoring was all over the board, so to speak, because nobody really just ran away with it. Nobody, you know, it was like, I don't know, it was like a lot of big teams just kind of intermixed all the way through the field. And with normally in the top 10, you know, a lot of these contests, when I see the names, I try to pick out, you know, top five or top 10 and everything. And I get pretty close sometimes. And, you know, and I'll throw in a couple wild cards in there and every now and then. But up in Gainesville, it just fooled me totally. So, you know, especially when you get in that run where you're kind of consistent with your categories, whatever. If you're hitting on two categories, you expect them to carry through. And then you go to a contest and you're not even close. You're like, all right, what happened?
Well, that was the biggest thing for the difference between this year and last year. We had a good year last year. The thing was, is we always have one category that was an outlier every comp, and it moved around. It wasn't always chicken. It wasn't always ribs. This year, we got fortunate to where we actually strung together all four categories, and that's really all it takes. I mean, it's just to dial something in like that or just get lucky in a couple tables, and it makes a difference in the season.
Yeah, like I was talking to David, you know, it's consistency, you know, trying to hold that flavor profile consistent. Like you said, you had to travel up and down the East Coast, you know. So, you know, flavor profiles change. So, you know, for you to be consistent, you know, from up and down as far as East and West, I mean, that says right there that, you know, y'all were hitting your marks and y'all were consistent in just about every category, which is pretty much what it takes. You don't have to win every category. You just got to be very consistent in them.
Exactly. And newer teams don't realize that. I mean, it's not it doesn't come easy to figure that out. I mean, you think you have to win every category. You don't. You just have to place well.
that's it. Like I said, just getting them top tens and top fives. You know, I met a lot of bull had, what, 2 180s in contests this year, and he ended up reserve grand or third, and you're like, holy cow, what happened? But, you know, he had one category that hurt him.
Yep.
And, you know, when you're strong like that, I mean, we were at the regionals, and Pack of Smokes had 2 firsts and a top 10 call, but he was 30th in ribs. He didn't get to go to the next round. Everybody just knew he was going. They just knew he won it, you know.
Right.
And he would tell everybody, well, the ribs were so-so. They weren't overly great. And it was really and truthfully a shock they finished, like, 13th.
Like, kind of like our King of the Smokers finish. We got a third-place chicken and a first-place brisket, and I don't know where we finished in the pork category. Pork and pork ribs wasn't very good. But that was a fun contest out there.
Where is that at?
That was the California one. It was a KCBS Competitor Series one.
Oh, that's right.
They only selected 24 teams to go out there.
Yeah, that was Big Papa's.
Yeah, yeah. He really broke the mold with that contest, let me tell you. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that. You know, we've seen Tuffy and Rod and a few other people post stuff out there. And, you know, all that says, well, you have to be here to experience it. Well, let's just rub it in. But
I've paid lots of money to go to Sandals Resorts, I mean, which, you know, I thought were very, very nice. And first of all, this location beat those resorts right off the bat. So it didn't seem like a place where you'd have a barbecue competition.
Right.
I mean, literally, a couple leaves fell off the tree and someone was there to pick them up. So it seemed strange to set up a lawn in front of your room. You had little one-bedroom standalone units. That's
right.
Where we're sleeping, and then we're set up right out in front there. Now, we couldn't use barbecue gurus, any power draft control devices. We couldn't use garnish, so there were some rule changes with that. All we had was the piece of foil in the bottom of the box. But other than that, it was a standard KCBS-style contest. The other unique thing was we all got a box of meat, so we were all using the same meat. So that mixed things up a little bit.
See, that's what, you know, I do a Southern Barbecue Network down here, and they supply the meat, so everybody's on the same playing field. And, you know, really puts, you know, the cook on the cooker instead of on, you know, the high-dollar piece of meat or the non-high-dollar piece of meat. It evens the field straight across, and it's kind of fun to do it like that. You know, there's no garnish in that either. So, you know, you turn in, you know, they're there to judge the meat, not salad.
Yeah, it was harder to make a clean box. You know, that lettuce hides a lot of stuff in that box.
Yeah, a lot of salt.
Yeah, I mean, it's real easy to be messy.
Yeah, if you start wiping, it just smears it.
Exactly.
And it really pisses you off, too, because, you know, especially if you're in a kind of a tight window to get it there, you're like, every time I wipe it, it goes to here. And when I get it here, it goes back to here, and it just keeps migrating on you. And, you know, I've seen some people just put in the first time not a drop of sauce anywhere, and I'm like, I can't do that. So, you know, I don't know if you ever worked with, we work with equipment, we get grease, you know, do the grease fittings and stuff before you know it, it's all over you, you don't know where it came from. That's pretty much how that sauce is in those white boxes. You know,
exactly.
give us a black box to put it in, you know. But,
he had a black box once a couple years ago in Dover, Delaware. The only time I've ever seen a black box, and we had garnish, and it looked pretty nice. And I've never seen a black box since then.
Well, it's pretty unique too, because you know, you look at the color contrast between the black and the green, and then you got your lettuce sitting at your meat sitting in there, and everything. That'd be a nice. Plus, it cover up some blemishes and stuff that you put on. You can't really see the sauce that well and everything. But I'd be apt to see that a little bit, a few more times. That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, it's not against the rules as far as I know.
So what's on your agenda this year? Are you going to try to repeat? Are you just going to see how it goes? Or?
You know, I think everybody's goal out there, well, I mean, is to win Team of the Year. So, of course, that would be our ultimate goal. But, you know, how do you do that? I try and break things out into smaller chunks, and the goal is to win every contest. So I just try and take it one day at a time. I mean, we've got Lakeland starting here in a couple of days, which, you know, we just celebrated last year, and now in a couple of days we're cooking Lakeland. So the season's starting real quick, just trying to take it one day at a time.
Yeah. Now, do y'all get y'all ever get burned out or anything? Because I know if I do, like, the most I've ever done in stretch is like about six or seven in a row, and I don't travel like you guys do, you know, and it gets to where, you know, it starts wearing on you a little bit. Do y'all feel that happening, or y'all just a hell of a lot more passionate about it than I am?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure you're awfully passionate, too. You know, the travel started wearing on me at the end of last year, but we've had 5 weeks off now. And
yeah.
I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but it feels like a lot. I mean, we're ready to go, and it's, you know, it's a weird thing. I love it so much that as soon as I start packing and prepping, I get a little pep in my step, and I'm ready to go again. And it's not
right.
It's not going to be like it was at the end of last season. You know, I have, you know, a comp in January. I think I've got one comp in February, class in March, you know. So it's not like we're doing, you know, back to back to back. I think we did 12 in a row at one point last year.
Hey, Jim, I got a question.
Yes.
Hey, this is David with Butcher Barbecue, Dan. What do you say, man?
Hey, David, how's it going, man?
Man, doing all right. Here's a good question for you. Since you did so well last year in your individual competitions and it showed with Team of the Year, do you plan on hitting the same competitions you did last year or changing it up any?
I'll change it up a little bit, but mainly because, I don't know, you have to choose your competitions. There's got to be some method in how anyone chooses competitions. I always have a hard time driving by a competition to go to a further competition, if that makes sense. So if there's one, you know, 10 miles away from my house, I'm usually not going to bypass that one to go to one 2 hours away. And I even stuck with that formula towards the end of last year when it didn't even make sense to do that. So if I do change up, that's the primary reason, not for anything else. Does that answer your question, David?
Sure, absolutely. Just kind of curious, been sitting here listening, and I thought, you know, I've often wondered how other folks look at choosing competitions just like I choose. And I've gotten, I'm not going to say picky, but I've been cooking some of the same contests since we started. And in the last couple of years, I've gotten, even though they are close, like what you're talking about, I've got one 30 minutes from the house, and, you know, I'm going to drive 4.5 hours to go to a different one simply because I have never done any good at that contest. And it's not that it's the contest. I'm believing that it's the pool of judges that they pull from. And in that area, they've just got those judges that, well, they spit my stuff out, for lack of better words. So I'm gonna change it up. And I was just curious if you thought of ever trying to do that too, if you've cooked long enough in one area that you see this, and are you going to change that?
No, actually, that's a good point. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania for us, I've never done well there. I've done outright bad. So, yes, I'm actually going to avoid that competition. Fortunately, it's the same day as the Royal. So it wasn't a factor this past year. I did the Royal, didn't have to worry about it. But, yeah, I would avoid. In fact, I even joked that I would go to that contest and just do the auxiliaries and avoid the main KCBS. That's how bad we finished.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, that's a good point. You know, when you got 30 or so competitions in a year, I'd actually forgotten that. That's good.
Well, see, now you got to get your brain going back into the competition world. You know, you're getting on. I know I've got one of your cohorts on the other line, Rob Bagby. Rev, he's on the other line. He's been on for a little while. And I've also got Troy Black. I want them to stay on because I'm fixing to get to you. But just a couple more little questions, Dan.
Sure.
Now that you have some time off, do you feel the itch to really get back out there and start doing it again? Because I notice when we're home on the weekends, even my wife, who doesn't come to all of them, you know, we're just sitting around really doing nothing. And she's like, why are the weekends so boring? I said, because we're not out seeing our other family. So,
yeah, my wife's threatened to ship me to California or Florida in the off season just to get me cooking again. I think she gets sick of me being home on the weekends. but, yeah, I mean, I could really do this every weekend of the year. I have to force myself to sit down and watch TV every now and then. You know, it started out as a hobby, turned it into a business, and I think now it's more of an addiction.
There's nothing wrong with that.
the first step is admitting it. I'm admitting it.
That's right. Well, you know, I tell my wife there's a whole hell of a lot of other things I could be doing a whole lot worse than what I'm doing here. I said, at least you know where I'm at, you know what I'm doing, you know what goes on. So,
exactly.
You know, have at it. I'm going to bring Robin here because y'all have got a class coming up, I believe, it's together. And if I'm not mistaken, and y'all have products out there and everything. And Troy, I promise I'll get to you in just a little bit. I know these guys want to ask you some questions. David's been holding on for an hour and 20 minutes to listen to what you had to say. But so, Rob, you're on the air, buddy. How you doing?
I'm great. How's it going, Jim? Congratulations, Dan.
Thank you, Rob.
So what's I know Rob's got a few products out there, and he did very well. Shit, everywhere you went, I believe, this year, Rob. You just missed Team of the Year in FBA, but not too bad, and you did very well in KCBS. What you got going on for this year?
I haven't sat down and figured out my whole schedule yet, but we'll be at Lakeland here this weekend, see Dan and some of the other guys from KCBS. And after that, we go to Smoke on the Water the following weekend in Winter Haven. It's a huge, fantastic FBA contest. And then I think I go camping with my daughter, and then after that, it's probably most every weekend for a while. If I had to guess, I'd say I'm probably going to end up hitting at least 30 to 35 contests this year.
Yeah, I know FBA puts on a lot of contests down in Florida, and that's a really good thing happening. You doing the Sam's Club this year again?
Yes, I am. Yep. Yeah, and that's coming up real soon, too, in February. Yeah, we've already done two FBA contests so far in January, and I ended up hitting reserve in both of those, so it's starting off to a pretty good start.
That's good. What's y'all's class schedule like? What y'all got something coming up together, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Right. It's going to be the end of March. I believe it's the last week in March. We're going to start around 11 o'clock on Friday morning, and it's going to kind of be like a side-by-side class. You know, we'll take turns stalking. You know, I think people should probably bring two notebooks or something. You know, write down what I'm saying in mine, and then flip over and do Dan's and take lots of pictures or whatever. But it's, you know, we're going to go step-by-step and category by category, and, you know, pretty much cover a contest from purchasing meats through turn-in boxes on Saturday. And there's going to be a boatload of information out there. You know, my class solo puts out a ton of information. And then when you add Dan and his crew into it, it's going to be information overload. Lots of good stuff.
Well, you got two world-class barbecuers doing a class together, and you can't go wrong with that. It's just so much information and so much other, you know, information that you can get from both y'all and different techniques and stuff. You know, they can't be that far off, because both of y'all do very well in your own right, and, you know, but... Like I said, you can't go wrong by taking this class. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be the class to take this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fantastic. You know, I'm truly looking forward to it. It's you know, like you say, it's there. If you don't walk away from this with a lot of information, you just weren't paying attention. And, you know, to top it all off, it's going to be a great time in Florida in the wintertime, which is 70 degrees during the daytime. We're going to have great food, great camaraderie, and, you know, it's going to be cool. What do you think, Dan?
I mean, you hit pretty much everything except where it's going to be held, Rob. I mean, that's a pretty good location, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's we're going to be on the Winter Haven's called the Chain of Lake City. We've got lots and lots of beautiful lakes that are all interconnected, and we're going to be set up lakefront on one of the lakes. On I don't know, it's probably 3 acres of land right down at the beach, and it's going to be beautiful.
It'll be awesome. We got a huge fire pit down there, trees, sandy beach. We got a couple of motorhomes coming in already that I told them we'll have lakefront parking set up for them. They'll be hooked up, and it's going to be awesome. It'll be a nice little vacation.
I'm bringing extra firepower down with me. My wife's coming. I'll give a presentation on box making. I got Dan McGrath, Chris Hall, Eric Frace. I got the entire team coming down, so everyone will have plenty of time to ask questions, get some hands-on with each of us. So we'll have some AV equipment, make sure everyone can see, hear us, although I don't think they have problems hearing us, but we'll get that back up anyway. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
So, Dan, is your wife going to give classes on auxiliary?
What's that?
Is your wife going to give classes on auxiliary events?
My wife doesn't do auxiliaries, but Eric is my auxiliary guy. So, yeah, I'm sure you could ask him some questions on what he's been doing. He'll talk your ear off about wings.
Well, I know when y'all came up to Shelby, it was like, three eyes. I'm like, good Lord.
Oh, that's Chris's girlfriend, Kit. That's who you were hearing there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're disappointed. She missed one category.
I want it. Did leave one burn, and I took it. but yeah, that was a lot of fun. You know, they helped the organizers out and stuff, and, people's choice, whatever. If you can do it without messing with your time and everything, they're a lot of fun. But, Dan, are you already in the Sam's Club, or?
Yeah, we signed up. We're going to actually do Tampa.
Okay.
So we're bringing our trailer down for Lakeland. Rub's been nice enough to store it for us down there. And he's awfully convenient to Tampa, so we figured we'd just do that, especially since when they put out the Sam schedule, every single date up in our region conflicted with a contest we were already planning on doing.
Yeah, I think Blue Blood's going to be down there, too, because they were running around the same boat. You know, a lot of contests that they want to do is going to conflict with something they were going to do up in North Carolina. You know, they're big friends with Two Old Men and Grill, Bob and Belinda, and you know, they like to come up there for their North Carolina swing, so to speak. A lot of people go down and do the Southern swing. I think it's Lakeland, Mobile, Pensacola, Tupelo, and Hammond, and Slidell, you know.
I think Chicks Wine and Bovine's doing that this year. Doing a bunch of those.
I talked to Mike up there in Shelby, and he said he was. And we do – one of my other jobs is firewood, so – I told him he has a really good hickory and pecan down here that if he ran out, you know, he could get, and he was really interested in the hickory. So he might swing by through here, either on his way down or come back up, meet you somewhere and pick up. Because he said he's going to be down there, about 5 weeks or something in a row?
That sounds like he'll be busy.
Yeah. So Two Old Men and Grill do it too, but Belinda broke her ankle this past week, and they're stuck in Nashville until she gets through rehab and all that. I think Bob said for almost a month. So he said he may be missing a couple competitions in that swing. But I think when I talked to Andrew from this goes back to where, you know, all the teams help one another. Andrew from Smokehouse Mafia might end up driving their motorhome down there for him. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what the first part of the season is going to bring for a lot of teams. And like I said, it's really good that you two are ganging up and doing a class. Like I said, it's that's just a power class. I mean, I can't say enough about it. It's when I first heard about it, I was kind of jealous because I wasn't able to go take it. But if anybody's wanting to do some special barbecue and even backyard barbecue and even invite your friends, makes a great gift. You know. Early Friday, never. So, are y'all teaching recipes or techniques or timelines, or how y'all formatting your class?
Go for it, Rob.
Go ahead, Dan. Well, I don't do recipes. Sometimes I'll share recipes that have worked in the past. I've shared what I won pork with at the Jack, but. I do techniques, and I talk about flavor profiles and what will win. You know, there's probably a combination of 50 or more things out there right now that you could win with as long as you execute everything correctly. So, I've never taken a recipe class, and I want my guys to be able to handle any situation that comes up, you know, be able to adapt, adjust, make changes on the fly. You know, you screw something up, figure out the way to make the best of it and still, you know, score some points on it. Hopefully you're not screwing it up, but, you know, it's all about techniques and how things work and why you do this and what can you expect if this happens and those kind of things. You know, make them more intelligent as opposed to somebody who just copies a recipe.
Well, like I was talking to David earlier about that from Butchie. You know, good thing about a lot of you guys, you know, you call up, like, when people order from him, you know, he's there answering the phone. And, you know, if you got a question, you don't want to go down a list, like you said, 300 questions and try to find the one that best fits what you want when you can actually talk to the guy. And this is really good about having two of y'all there because y'all can answer it in your own way on how certain things react the way you do it. Because, y'all may be cooking on different equipment and, you know, use different types of meat or whatever. So it's really good taking classes. I know I took a couple classes to get me to where I'm at. It really shortens that learning curve. By the time you pay for a class, I mean, it's two or three competitions, and you'll throw that money away trying to learn on yourself. Easy. So learn from the best. And, I mean, you're right up there in national barbecue rankings. Three guys is two of them. Y'all are two of the top teams in the country. You know, even with David on here, that's probably three out of the top five teams in the country right here on the show. So, you know, a lot of information's out there. And I know Rose's been doing it for about, I don't know, 40, 50 years at least. And
at least.
But at least, right?
That's right.
And, Dan, I remember seeing him on Barbecue Pitmasters a few seasons ago. So he's really taken flight and has done very well in his own right, as you can see from this past year. So, you know, it just shows you, you know, it's not just about rubs and spices, it's technique and how you incorporate it into your meat and timelines and everything else. So I've had a lot of my friends that I've taken class, like Georgia Boys with Don Adams and stuff, and he really enjoyed the class and everything. And I know both of y'all are top-notch guys, and, you know, y'all would do a very, very good job on the class.
Well, and the other thing I'd like to point out is, you know, at the end of last year, going into the season, I actually took Rubb's class myself, and that helped me out tremendously. So I'm a student of Rubb's as well, and I'm happy to share the class with him and, you know, put my unique spin on things. So there'll be similarities and there'll be differences, and I think it's cool that you'll be able to see some of both of those.
And that's a good thing. It doesn't always have to be the exact same profile. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be the exact same thing. You know, from what I get from different teams and stuff, is profiles that are working. And you may have two different ones for pork. You know, they're not so off base from one another, but, you know, they're similar, but then again, they're different. And
Here's a perfect case in point about that. And, David, I'm glad you're on the line. You know, David's been sponsoring me with his products, Butcher Barbecue, for a couple of years now. And, you know, it's helped me light things up out there. And on the other hand, we've got Dan, who's sponsored by FAB. So it's two different products coming from two different points of view, but, you know, they're both getting the same thing done. But in the class, you know, you'll get to see and taste the difference between the two. And, you know, I'm looking, that's going to be real interesting, seeing how that all plays out. I do share a lot of my techniques with the injections and recipes with that. But, yeah, I'm looking forward. You know, that's a good aspect of it right there with two different flavors coming at you.
Now, Rob, have you ever had another person help you teach a class? Or
you know, I'm going to have to have somebody. Because, you know, when I do the just a solo class, is it? I'm going to need a Dubois. So yeah, I'm going to pull somebody in who's taken my class from the past and have them come and help me out and do stuff like that. And I'll probably rely on some of Dan's guys too for some help. Just shoot, it's turned into.
No problem.
All right, we're gonna be catering a pretty big dinner that night, prime rib dinner. So on top of the class, so we'll have our hands full.
Well, I know one of your ex-students, Don Adams, he's not doing nothing. He'll come down there and help you.
Yeah, I'd love to have Don come down.
He's probably listening tonight, so he's probably saying, yeah, thanks, Jim.
Shoot me an email, Don.
Like I said, he talked very highly of you. I went more towards Rod Green, Johnny Triggs' class, and got a lot of info out of it. And, you know, you pick up some things along the way from different teams, and David's helped me a lot. I will give him that kudos. He explained how to use the rubs and the injections and the do's and do nots of it, and, you know, the reaction you should get and all this other stuff. So it's really helped me out. He's answered a lot of questions. Some of them were probably stupid, but, you know, he's always told me there's no stupid question when it comes to stuff like that. So if you want to ask it, this is the time to ask it, you know, when you're in the class and stuff. So your class is at the end of March, is that right?
Correct.
And it's down in Warehaven, Florida.
I'm sorry?
March 8th and 9th, isn't it?
That's what I thought it was.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. My bad. Yeah, I don't want to miss the class. That'd be embarrassing.
We compliment each other. You're seeing a little bit of that already, you know?
Oh, son of a gun. There it is on the calendar, March 8th and 9th. It's been a long
day. There's the 5 o'clock, Reb.
Thank you, Dan.
No problem.
I don't think that's the first time I've done that either.
But I didn't say anything because I thought it was March 8th and 9th, and I'm like, man, did you say it or what? And I wasn't going to say anything. I'm like, all right. Somebody's going to have to step up and say something. But.
Well, the first time, I thought I heard him wrong. But.
I got it confused with another class I'm doing up in Chicago the last of the month. I'm sorry.
Hey, Dan, Saturday morning, you have to go and check the smoker, make sure he's got his briskets in.
Jeez, make sure I show up.
Yeah, that's the first thing, right, Rob?
Yeah. Make sure I show up and then take my car keys.
Yeah, it's like, all right, now, Dan, you call me when you leave your house, and I'll meet you there.
That's good.
So, well, that's pretty good. Like I said, never a dull moment. I know, Rob, you got a big FBA schedule coming up and everything. And so, Dan, are you staying down in the South for a little while? Are you going to fly back or drive back and forth, or how are you going to work your first part of the season?
I'm going to fly in to Lakeland, and then I'm going to drive back with Chris. Like I said, we'll leave the trailer down there. And then we're just going to fly in and out for Tampa and then fly back for the class. So, no, not spending much time down there, just a couple weekends. Got to go back to work.
Well, that's good. Now, you going to make another Georgia swing this year? Are you going to see how it goes? Or
I'm certainly not planning another Georgia swing this year. Let's put it that way. I hope to be in a position where I need to do that again. But, you know, I did take a liking to the Calhoun comp in the fall, though. So I think I'll do that one regardless.
Yeah, my season was done 2 weeks before that, and I promised my wife I wouldn't do anymore, and I saw that one come up, and I'm like, well, I got to live here, so I can't live in my trailer, so I figured I have to pass on that one. You know, I didn't want to be up there. I wasn't in the same position as y'all were, so. But anyway, well, that's good to hear, and like I said, we got another caller. I know Rob knows this guy pretty well, I guess. He competes against you a good bit. I got Brad Kay from Lane Smokers.
I've heard of him.
What's up, Rob? We can eat some cheeseburgers this weekend or what?
How you doing, BK?
I'm doing just fine, sir. Doing just fine. I'll see y'all this weekend, and I look forward to meeting Dan. And hopefully we can make it to that class also.
Yeah, definitely. We'll hook you up, introduce you to Dan. Well, it's going to be a good time this weekend. There's going to be a lot of people there.
A lot of people. Yeah, we went out
72 teams,
year.
I heard, right?
I'm sorry?
72 teams, I heard.
Oh, wow. That's a bunch.
Now, down here, we call that a shitload.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a big time. We're vending that contest. It's going to be like 3 days of straight being up for me, but it'll be a good time.
Are you sure you got to show up there this weekend, Rub?
Oh yeah, yep. It's not quite hometown, but it's only 20-25 minutes away. So it's one of about four contests where we sell our barbecue at the contest. So it'll be fun. A lot of work, but a lot of fun.
That's a whole added dimension to competing and bending. We do one a year, and it's enough for us.
Oh, yeah. I think we're cooking enough food to feed a small army. So, well,
Brad,
actually, a medium-sized army.
So, Brad, you cooking this one down at Lakeland this weekend?
Yes, sir. We're heading out Thursday. So I'll be coming by to get some wood before we head out.
We just got some more pecans split up and stuff, so it's I'll be pretty good. I'm burning it right now in the TNT, doing some butts for Jan for her shop and everything. So,
grab some for me, Brad.
What you want? Some hickory?
Pecan.
All right, now the pecan pile is a little bit smaller. You can't be getting into my pecan.
we've been splitting a few, so it's still up there. Dan, what you cook with?
I'm sorry?
What do you cook with?
Wood. No, I'm just kidding. I use hickory and cherry wood.
Okay. Well,
what do you cook on?
Backwood smokers.
Okay.
I heard they did. What, Brad?
A lot of teams down here use those backwoods cookers. I see them everywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of Carolina teams that like them. And I've had actually Don Adams, the Georgia boys, was fiddling around with one of the guys at the competition one time, threw a rack of ribs on it, and he looked at me and goes, I got to get me one of them just for ribs.
I think it's the best rib cooker out there. I mean, you can use the entire rack when you're done. You don't have any, scorched ends. You know, it's all cooked evenly. That's fantastic.
He was just amazed at the amount of juice that was still in the rib when he went to go cut or whatever. He said it was just, he said he'd never seen a rib like that. And, his rib and everything, they cooked it, to his temperature and all this other stuff, just playing around at a comp. And he said, man, I'm telling you what. He said, I'll buy one of those just to do my ribs. He said, it was phenomenal. The color, the moisture, he said, the tenderness, the whole nine yards. So I haven't used a lot of Carolina teams use them. You need to try. I get Brad to bring some extra hickory down and try the hickory that we've got up here. It's a mockernut hickory. And let you try it in the class, whatever, and see what you think about it. I wouldn't do it on competition. You don't want to change what you're using, but, it'll get you some wood down here in the southern swing if you need it.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to give it a try.
So Rub, what are you cooking on, Rub?
I'm cooking on Yoder smokers. I've got one of their stick burners and one of their pellet cookers, and they're getting ready to send me their new 1320 pellet cooker, which I'm really looking forward to.
That's a little bit bigger model, isn't it?
Yeah, it's built like their stick burner is. It's got their integrated heating management system, and it's going to be pretty sweet. it's got everything I love about the stick burner, but it's put it into a pellet format. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's got a 2x3 bottom shelf and a slightly smaller second upper shelf.
That's cool. Yeah, I've seen some of those online. I haven't really looked at the inside pictures of them and stuff, but, you know, just putting them on the internet, you can pick up a lot of information on that. I know Brad uses Lang, hence Lang Smokers, but Brad's been coming along pretty good. He's been hitting all FBA boys up a little bit down there, and, you know, that guy was giving me plugs for my firewood that I have up there for him, so he's got a routine out of. He comes by, he gets his wood, goes by, picks up all his meat, and he goes by my wife's sandwich shop and gives him something to eat, but he's always got to get him a couple of her cookies, and then he heads to the competition. So you need to go ahead and get Brad up and see, bring you a couple of those cookies down there to the competition and see what you think about them.
Let's build it up, Brad.
No, you don't need any cookies, Rob. You do not need any cookies. But actually, the only time I won an FBA Grand Championship, I brought really a lot of gifts. So, and I aggravated them several times. I kept knocking on his door.
Yeah,
I love seeing Rob.
So,
but if you don't go knock on his door, you don't see him.
You bring gifts to the barbecue god, is that what it was?
Yeah. I love hanging out with Rub. Rub's always a joy to be around in the competition, and he's at all the FBA events. That's really the only reason I go to Florida is to hang out with Rub.
We have a good time. I don't know about all that crap, but we have a good time.
That's right.
I thought it was like a quad decker cheeseburger Rub was eating. They call it the McRub.
Yeah, he has a ritual. He'll take two double cheeseburgers apart, and the bottom buns he throws up in the air like he's shooting clay and goes boom. On Saturday nights.
Well, then you got
we got hot sauce stories and everything else, but that's for a cook-off around the fire.
Yeah, we don't want to put that on the radio.
Yeah, Thursday nights are not good for advertising anything. That's all I can say.
Have you made anything with the sauce yet, Rob?
I've used the barbecue sauce on a few things. It's really good. It's a sauce that his dad makes, and that's some daggone good sauce. I'll tell you what I'm going to do with the ghost pepper juice you sent. I'm going to make some super hot sauce for vending at Lakeland. I'm going to label it, make sure it's perfectly clear to him. But you know how some of these good old boys are. Oh, shoot, I can eat anything hot. So I figure we'll sell a bunch of sandwiches just to get him to try the sauce.
Yeah.
So
what's the first thing you don't put it on, Rob?
What's the first thing I'm going to put it on?
No, that you don't put it on.
Oh. I don't put it on anything, especially anything on me.
That's right. It's not made for body parts.
No.
We're giving away free chicken wings, free hot wings, actually, this weekend. So you get 12 of them, and it's $100 to try them. If you eat all 12 of them, we'll give you $100 back. So there you have it. Free hot wings.
Yeah. Wow. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, we'll see how many he gets rid of.
Are you going to cook up about 12?
12, yeah. 12 at a time.
It'll probably be Cody who buys them.
No, I mean, my dad is trying to get me to find somebody that can eat the stuff. You know, he says, you know, he wants to find somebody that can really eat it. You know, he told me to go ahead and take all of it out of the house. He said he keeps eating and it tears his stomach off pieces for 4 days. But he keeps going back. It's like, he's addicted to it now.
That's the hottest stuff I've ever had.
I'm not even going to try it. Well, we've got David Buska still hanging on from Butcher Barbecue. Anything you want to say out there, David? We're fixing to have to get offline a bit, coming up to the end of the show. And like I said, you really helped Killer Bees out. KCBS talks and everything. So, is there anything else you want to say?
I can't hang with these boys. They've said enough.
And David's got a class coming up too. Look on his website. Go there, buy some products. As you heard, Rub uses his products, and you know, that just goes to show, you know, different teams can do very well with his products, and it's always in the top. It's always something to compete with. And like I said, Dave, we appreciate you being on the show tonight, sharing some information with us. And I'm thinking probably in about 3 or 4 weeks we're going to make a big announcement on here. Is that about right?
Sound like a plan. I'll let you know.
Okay, buddy. I appreciate it. All right, that's David Bootka from Butcher Barbecue. We got Brad from Lang Smokers. Anything you want to say, Brad?
No, just a big thank you to all my barbecue family and for everything they do for me. And Jim, big thank you to you. And I'll see y'all boys this weekend. But Dan, where are you staying at? Since you're flying in.
Just staying one night over at the La Quinta Inn over there on West Lakeland.
My cousin works at the one over next to the airport. She hooked us up with some cushy rooms for really cheap. So at the Hilton Garden Inn or Garden Island or something like that. But anyway, well, it's a place to stay.
Might take you up on that for when I go down to Tampa. If you shoot me an email, that'd be awesome. Just dan@3sbarbecue.com.
Yeah, she works at the Hilton. It's like $39 a night. You can't beat it.
Oh, that'd be fantastic if I can get that hooked up. Appreciate it.
All right, I'll see y'all boys this weekend.
All right,
thanks. We'll see tomorrow, Brad, or Thursday, and good luck.
Thank you, man.
All right, Rob, you're up next, buddy. You've got class. You want to, or do I need to get Dan to tell the dates?
Yeah, you better get Dan to say the date.
March 8th and 9th, unless you're running on Rob's calendar. We'd love to have you guys. Spots are filling up quick, so I think we've only got about 10 or so left. So if you're hesitating, you better jump on it.
Now, how many students are you going to take? I know we didn't go through that either. How many students are y'all going to take down there?
We're going to cap it at 50, which leaves us at one instructor per 10 students. I think that's a pretty good ratio. Make sure that everyone gets their questions answered. And that's why we're adding some AV equipment as well, just to make sure everybody sees what they need to, everybody hears everything that's going on, and no one feels left out. Because you spend a lot of good money, we want to make sure you get the information.
Well, that's cool. And how much does the class cost for some of the listeners out there?
Not enough.
What?
I was saying not enough for all you're going to get.
It's a good way of looking at it.
So what are people looking at for taking the class?
It's $750.
$750. Well, hell, I mean, that's a bargain these days. That's the price of 3 competitions, and you're going to get the knowledge of probably, you know, well over 100-150 competitions just from Rev alone, probably, and no telling how many from Dan. So, I mean, you've got all those years of experience and all those competitions behind y'all. And,
We're up to about 130 competitions now, so.
That's good. Rev's got to be up about 400 and something down there in Florida.
Oh, not that many, but, you know, I honestly don't know where I am. Probably around 300. But you look at the combined grants that we have, and we're in the 50s or 60s, and reserve grants is pretty darn close to that. So that's a heck of a lot of experience in one spot.
Well, no telling how many top fives y'all have between y'all two. So, you know, category wins and category top fives, I mean, it's phenomenal. So, you know, this is about the biggest bang for your buck when it comes to a class, I believe. And so if anybody's out there listening, it's worth a plane ticket to go down there if you don't live close by and get in this class. You don't have much time to get in it. Like I said, the spot's filling up good, pretty quick. And having that many instructors down there, you know, for the students is really, really good. Because like I said, if you keep it 1 to 10, they can almost get you know, look over your shoulder and look at it. And that's what they need. So
exactly. I've taken enough classes to know, you know, what you want to get out of a class. So I keep that in mind.
Right. So, well, I really appreciate you guys coming on the show. Any shout-outs y'all want to give while you're on here? Any sponsors? Or I know Three Eyes has got his rubs, and Rub uses some Butcher products, and I think Dan uses Fab products, and anything else we're missing?
Yeah, I'd definitely like to thank the Barbecue Guru as well for being one of our sponsors. And Fab, you've already mentioned. First Mariner Mortgage has helped us out a ton, and our newest sponsor, Grizzly Coolers. We'll be breaking those in down at Lakeland. Looking forward to those.
That's great. Yeah, those are some really tough coolers. They match up with Yetis, you know, very well. I mean, they're a very well-constructed cooler and everything. So, you know, congratulations. And, Rob, anything you want to say?
Oh, gosh, I want to thank Yoder Smokers for all they're doing for me. Of course, Dan Three Eyes, got to love his product. He's a good sponsor. I've got Candy Sue Weaver with Barbecuers Delight, provides all my quality pellets. And Wicked Q, a new rub sponsor, has come on board. And who am I missing? Of course, David. I think that covers it. I need to write stuff down.
Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on the show tonight. And, Rob, congratulations on finishing FBA and actually in the National Barbecue Rankings. And big kudos to Dan for being the KCBS Team of the Year this year, buddy. Congratulations. And I know you're enjoying it, and it'll probably be a while before you can get off that cloud, so to speak. But I think once you get back to competition, you'll want it more. So congratulations.
Yeah, it'll all be flush from my head on Friday.
Okay. Back to reality, right?
Exactly. But thanks so much for having me on it, and congrats to you as well, Rob. Fantastic season.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having us, Jim.
All right, you're welcome. Anytime, y'all are welcome on my show. I appreciate y'all calling.
All right, thanks so much.
Okay.
Thanks, Fred.
That's our Monday night show tonight. We had Dan Hickson, the Three Eyes Barbecue, the KCBS Team of the Year. We've had Rub Bagby. He's been FBA Team of the Year. He's up in the National Barbecue Rankings. Just phenomenal cook. Both of them giving a class this March 8th and 9th. They're going to be competing down in Winterhaven, Florida this week, Lakeland, Florida this weekend, I'm sorry. So, anyway, great to have them on the show. As always, David Boothia from Butcher Barbecue, one of our main sponsors. Great to have him on the show. Feed us some more information, and we'll have a big announcement with David coming up. We're going to announce it here on the show one night, so y'all keep your Facebook pages and stuff next few weeks, and look for a reminder. Next week we'll have Mark Breen from Serial Grillers, the number one pork team in the country, and we're going to try to work out with Corey Black. I was mentioning back and forth during the broadcast. Definitely try to get Troy Black on here, and we'll talk about the Sam's Club and everything next week. So until then, this is Jim Bird with Killer Bees. I want to thank Royal Oak as our main sponsor, Greg McCauley from Fireside Other Kitchen and Grill.